This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
It's now. It's on.
When I was on the reserve, I was called to London. I took a mathematics exam. Having passed the mathematics exam, I had a medical examination, and I was assessed as PNB, Pilot Navigator Bomb Aimer. From there, I was eventually called up and I went to Aircrew Reception Centre, St John's Wood, London. Warrant Officer Apps was the only man that mattered there. He was a very, very great man, and he's a hard disciplinarian, but a fair man. And he used to say, if ballet dancers can be in step, why can't you lot are supposed to have brains? From there, I went to initial training wing in Scarborough. And when I was at Scarborough, I realised that it's going to take me a long time to qualify as a pilot. So I elected to be a rear gunner. And so from Scarborough, I went to Dalcross in Scotland and did my gunnery training at Dalcross in Scotland, which is now Inverness Airport. From there, when I passed out, I went to Peplow in Shropshire, Operational Training Unit. It was on Wellington's. John Marks was my skipper. Eventually, we all teamed up in the hangar, as was always done there, and I joined the operational training unit at Peplow in Shropshire. When we passed out of Peplow, which might interest you, it must be civil servants that made Peplow's runway, because it sunk into the ground halfway ground. And the air traffic control lost sight of you when you went down into the hole before you became airborne. From there, we went to Lindholm. We were on Wellington's then, and then we went to Lindholm for heavy bomber conversion unit onto Halifax's. And it was the first time I realised about Canadian politics. At that time, we've got three Canadians in our crew and three Englishmen, and our skipper decided when he wanted a flight engineer to select a Canadian. He did, but when the rest of the crew knew he came from Quebec, they said, we're not flying with him. So he had to change the flight engineer, and the flight engineer eventually came from where did he come from? Nottingham. He came from Nottingham and he joined us then. And at Lindholm, after the heavy bomber conversion unit, we went on to the Lancaster finishing unit, which was at the same time at Lindholm. From there, when we passed out on Lancaster's, we went to 625 Squadron at Kelston near Louth. Eventually, when we'd been there a bit, we were asked to volunteer for special duties to number one group special duty flight at Binbrook, which we duly did. And we moved over to Binbrook on the special duties flight. Group Captain Edwards, VC, was the commanding officer at Binbrook, but he wasn't our commanding officer. Our commanding officer was Air Commodore Hoppy Ray from Number 1 Group Headquarters at Bawtry. And from Binbrook, when we were training, we went to St. Tudwell's Island off Wales every night to bomb a light in a monastery. We didn't know why, but over to this light we used to go. And that was the special duty flight, and we were trained to do that. And we'd already finished a tour, actually, of Binbrook on 625. But now we were being trained, we didn't know it, to bomb in Europe marshalling yards and things like that, small marshalling yards. And that's what we did. On VE Day, we'd got a railway bridge to blow up, that's leading troops up to the British troops. And so we realised what we were doing then. But our crew stayed together even after the war. As I say, we were three Canadians and four English. We stayed friends, and the only one, apart from me, that's alive now is my skipper's wife, Pat, who I'm still in touch with. We're one of the few crews where every member of the crew got decorated.
That's quite cool.
On 625 before we went to Binbrook, and we were being trained then, and we didn't know it, to bomb specific targets for the invasion of Europe. So that's what the special duties flight was about, was accurate bombing. Saints Marshalling Yard near Bordeaux, we had to go on a bombing run where the prison was the first thing on the roadside, then the hospital, and then the marshalling yard. We'd got to hit the marshalling yard. Unfortunately, we didn't hit the hospital, but we knocked the wall down of the prison. Our skipper, John Marks, felt very badly about having knocked the wall down of the prison at Saints. And when he was on holiday in France, he went over to Saints, and he saw the mayor at Saints and spoke to him. And the mayor turned around and said, "Look, yes, you killed a few Frenchmen, but I've got news for you. The Germans would have killed more the following day if you hadn't, so don't feel too badly about it." And that happened at Saints Marshalling Yard near Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm.
But the skipper, he wasn't happy that we'd killed some of the French prisoners in that camp. But there you are. But as a crew, we stuck together all the time. After the war, all our families did. We stayed with each other. As I say, we were an Anglo-Canadian crew, and we had no fallouts. We went on leave together. The mid-upper gunner came with me, the bomber went with the skipper, and that was that. So the Canadians were the bomber was the skipper, yes. And Jerry was with me, and Tommy the navigator. He always went to stay with friends down in the Worcester area. Our drinking hole at the time was the lifeboat at Cleethorpes, and I'll guarantee you that the man that run the lifeboat at Cleethorpes could tell you how many aircraft had gone missing the previous night by the lack of customers the next day. But he looked after us very well, the landlord at the lifeboat at Cleethorpes. And then we used to go across the road from the lifeboat to the Gaiety Dance Hall and have a dance before we went back to our units. Bomber Harris's 80th birthday was celebrated at the Grosvenor House Hotel in London. There must have been 600 or 700 of us there. We presented him with a walking stick with a silver handle, and everybody got up and cheered him. He was supposed to be the person that we weren't supposed to know. Well, we all did, and we all stood up and cheered him, and he said, "You know me, lads, I made some errors and I cost you lives, and he meant that from his heart. But anybody in that position of Sir Arthur Harris, obviously he had to make decisions and some of them didn't work out, but he felt it very, very much. He did care about his people. He cared a lot about his men. But as he said, in my position, I made mistakes and cost you lives. And I know by the way he spoke, he really meant that. And it hit him. Yeah. So he hadn't got the easiest job in the world either.
No.
What? Some of the people I remember were the Sergeant Waff in charge of the aircrew mess. She was fantastic. She used to see us off, then be still there when we got back. How she managed to do it, I don't know. It must have hurt her when some of the tables that were vacant when we got back. The other thing that I remember, two other lots of ladies I remember, lady air traffic controllers, basically, were better than the men. And also, I always felt for the ladies who transported us out to the aircraft, how they must have felt when they took crews out, and then at night, when we came back, to find that their aircraft hadn't come back. It must have hurt there a heck of a lot. But I'm sure the lady who was in charge of the, particularly at Kelston, in charge of the mess there, I'm sure she got a lot of food in from the local farmers fed in, because the way she fed us, we could never say we were hungry at Kelston.
No. What made you think that the traffic controllers were better?
They never panicked. The ladies never raised their voices at all. If you were coming in fog, and we have come in some pretty bad fog that you wouldn't include it as such now, but when we came in, their voice never changed. You might have having problem getting in because it's ground control approach. Forget what you've got now, for goodness sake. Then all we got ground control approach, which meant that the lady in the control tower was actually telling you what, where to turn, what speed to do, and what height you were. She was guiding you in. She was guiding you in. You had no other. You hadn't got anything inside the aircraft that was going to help you. She was doing it from radar. I agree to what I've been saying. My name is Larry Larrard, L-A-R-A-R-D, retired Flight Lieutenant Royal Air Force 183900 DFM. Message ends.
On behalf of the International Bomber Command Archive, I'd like to thank Flight Lieutenant Larry Larrard, DFSN, for his recording in Thetford on the 17th of July 2015. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.